You get that car.
So $400,000.
Come with me, Ted. We're going on a drive.
So this is Adam. We're at Ted's house, and you are listening to the Dollarman Watches TV. The Dollarman Watches cars get auctioned.
The Mecum auto auctions, I think it's called.
There's a channel for this.
Yeah,
I think it's it's HD Theater.
And sitting around at Ted's house here.
Oh,
is,
look, Ted, your
Sean,
favorite show.
Top away. Heather.
Woo woo.
Ted. And myself, who is the same team who... I'm getting to you, baby. Don't worry.
It's all right,
honey.
I'm
getting to you, baby.
I'm getting to you. It's the same team that discussed the Scott Pilgrim series of books a couple weeks ago. Now, added to the mix here, we have with us Terrence.
What's up?
Who may not have heard Terrence in a while. I guess last interview, anybody that was listening technically just heard the Tom DeFalco and Ron Friends interview, hopefully, if you didn't listen to that
one. Is that the one where Joel got thrown under the bus? I haven't listened to it yet, but...
Did
that,
he ever?
What happened?
Is it funny?
What happened?
Basically, I was about to get hit by a bus. I saw it coming.
Tell us what the bus was.
It winged me in the shoulder, but in the process, basically, I was able to grab hold of Joel.
Basically, the bus was, hey, is anybody reading Spider-Girl?
And I kept the silent pause in, too.
Yeah, you did.
Hold on. He asked you guys that?
Ron Friends asked us if any of us were reading Spider-Girl.
And what did you guys say?
Silence. And then somebody goes, I think it was Terrence.
Joel said, I am. And I said, I'll be honest, I stopped because it had gotten canceled seven times already.
And they basically, and Joel said, when he said, I am, they're like, I'm not convinced.
Yeah.
Wow, they didn't believe him. So he lied. So Joel pretty much lied. He's not reading.
Joel told the truth, but it took him a long time to come out with it.
Hold on, he didn't admit he was reading it? Why didn't he want to admit he was reading it?
No, he's not currently reading it. He read it for 100 issues, and he has not been reading it currently.
There you go.
Is what happened. And I had read it for a while and had stopped also.
Yeah, same here.
So
I just kept my fucking mouth shut, which is what
everybody did. It was dead silent. It was dead silent.
I was like, you guys can handle this one.
And then also at one point, they're like, well, you got to buy the book. And Joel said, if it makes you feel any better, I'll mail you each $20.
Which was just...
And then he was like...
That was just the worst possible thing.
Yeah, it was like what the DeFalco was saying. I was like, well, now you're just being a dick.
Wow. So did the interview turn after that, or?
Oh, it got real dark for 2 seconds, but it was hilarious. And now, like, Joel has this blood grudge against me and you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, even though it was him who got himself into it.
I think you need to throw up a disclaimer that you're normally nice to the people you interview.
We were being incredibly nice. It was a fun interview up until that point.
And I honestly did go back and I picked up the current Spider-Girl series, and it's fun. It's a fun. It always has been. Every time, it's just a really fun series.
Well,
to read,
if it makes them feel better, I will actually pick up the new Thunderstrike thing.
Liar.
I'm more interested in Thor stuff than I am Spider-Man stuff in general. So
yeah, the Thunderstrike thing is going to be interesting when it comes back out. But definitely go listen to those interviews. It's a two-parter. Yesterday, Joel and Brian and I interviewed Marv Wolfman, talking about a lot of stuff that he's done over his long career, as well as what he's got coming out, and just the industry in general. We talked a lot about that, too, so... That'll be posted, in the next millennia at some point.
Yeah, no, right.
Yeah, she's weird.
But today...
What is she doing?
Just stretching.
We are here today to talk about the Scott Pilgrim movie, which is why Terrence is here. He's about halfway through volume 6 of the books.
Indeed.
Everybody should already know our opinion, except for Terrence's on the Scott Pilgrim books. But let's go ahead and delve into the Scott Pilgrim movie, which
does Terrence not get to give his old school opinion on Scott Pilgrim first?
My opinion is not old school. I'm not even 30 yet. Ease up.
Are you younger than me?
You are 30. Yeah.
No, I thought you were older than me.
I won't be 30 until January.
I'm older than you. Really?
Yeah. I just told you I wouldn't be...
You're
30
so
until
old.
January.
I know, but I really thought that
Sean's
you were older than me. I thought
way.
You were the same age as me, but
I have more
older.
Kids than you do. Oh, which technically makes me older than you.
You're canceled.
That's gonna be like, here. Each kid puts like 5 years onto you, but like
what aspect of this, so we didn't plan this out at all, other than the fact that we were gonna talk about the Scott Pilgrim movie. What aspect would you like, guys, like to start with? Would you like to compare it to the books, or do you want to talk about the movie itself?
Should we just probably talk about the movie first, and then
yeah, I would talk about
it to the books. You want to talk about the pacing of the movie, since Sean thought it was maybe we just talk about slow. Like
I guess just can we, should we start in general and then
okay,
get
okay you guys saw it before us
yes
so
yeah
like
yeah.
We got a tidbit of what you guys were thinking on the last movie on the last podcast and
that's true yeah
honestly when I walked out I was like wow what could anybody kind of find wrong with this so
yeah I sent Sean a text message to tell her she was stupid
okay. Okay. Because so,
she was stupid
I mean I'm sure I was way too critical of the movie because I had a lot of baggage about it going into it
because
so
of San Diego
I'm sure
right?
I didn't enjoy it
why'd
as
you have
much
a lot
as
of baggage
well I just been from back just gotten back from San Diego Comic Con where the hype was like ridiculous so I guess I had some expectations going into it so I mean maybe I just expected too much out of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean,
but you didn't have necessarily a complaint about the quality of the movie as much as just the pacing is what you mainly said.
It felt a little slow, and I think it was what? Because the characters are so flat and they don't develop at all that it kind of left a little to be desired, I guess. I don't think that that's a with the movie. It's the same thing in the book. Like, they don't really focus on character development. The characters are kind of like one notes, and that's who they are. There's just a bunch of action and stuff, but I don't know.
The movie didn't have any character development whatsoever. I mean, and granted, that's
I
said the same thing about. Yeah, I guess.
I think that's kind of why I liked it, though. I mean, like.
Yeah.
Scott is about the only one that kind of comes
yeah,
anywhere.
Yeah, Scott's
in the
only
movie.
One that really changes the entire movie. But, like,
yeah,
what
in
I
the
thought
movie,
about.
Absolutely. And way even more so, even in the book. We're not comparing it to the book yet.
Yeah.
But it's not like.
It's not that that's a bad thing. The movie's not about, like, these characters who go through all this change. It's about. It's a fun action movie, and I guess watching the movie made me see a lot of flaws in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that I didn't enjoy it. I think I'm coming across way too harsh.
Okay.
Like, I did enjoy it. It was a fun movie. I'm sure the next time I see it, I'm going to enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I can kind of see, like, coming off of the overload that you had at San Diego in general. I mean, yeah. Like, they were really, really, really pushing the movie there.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, like, seriously, you know, it was greeting you on the way into the city, right?
They like, had a whole, like... The whole side of a hotel was the billboard. They took over another hotel, two stories worth of kind of interacting games and all sorts of stuff. They had a video game in one of the booths.
Which is fucking awesome, just so you know.
It was insane. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it also makes you kind of wonder why did Scott and Ramona, why do they like each other?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there it is.
I brought it up.
There's the explosion.
No, I think that they don't ever really.
I mean, you kind of get it in the movie do. More. I would think
that they do. Really?
I mean, I kind of understood more in the movie. Like, I mean, like at least in the movie, you can kind of see like, okay, at least you can see the more attraction kind of element to it.
Yeah.
In the book, that's always missing because everyone looks like weird.
But I mean, who hasn't had like that kind of infatuation about one person that just like you know? I kind of think that it plays off of more of I guess your kind of high school desires. And the thing about it is that Scott at that point hadn't kind of developed in his life at all. So, I mean, he's like 23, but he still thinks like he's like 17. So,
yeah.
You know, when I look at him having this kind of like ridiculous crush on somebody, like I can see somebody who hasn't moved that far in their life to do something like that.
The feeling that I got about like the whole relationship is, yeah, I get that whole, you know, she's the girl of my dreams because she was using his dreams as, like, so she was there, and that's why he even knew she existed to begin with. But then, really, the relationship seems to have formed simply because they went on a date, and all of a sudden he was in because he had to fight these people.
Right.
And all of a sudden it became this challenge more than anything, and it didn't seem like it was a attraction relationship as much as I guess I'm in, I might as well go ahead and go for it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess the movie did kind of make a point of like,
yeah, I just didn't get it.
But it, like,
you explain it to us, Ted.
Seven boyfriends.
Seven exes.
Seven evil exes. I'm sorry, whatever. Even though, like, lesbian relationships aren't really real, but whatever.
You had a sexy face?
Good point.
So the seven evil exes were a metaphor.
For what?
For just the standard
just
relationship
challenges
hurdles
of a relationship
you have to deal with, like
from
jealousy
coming from the outside.
Yeah, well, no, just I mean, it's just a way of kind of, you know, personifying those issues, like trust, dishonesty, anger, possessiveness. Those are the seven evil exes. Seven pieces of bad. I'm just making shit up.
I was trying to the twins could represent
are the yin and yang.
You know.
Yeah.
Of what?
Of their relationship harmony. Their relationship harmony.
As far as the pacing.
Like, are people being two-faced and you're not being able to trust them?
I think the pacing may have been, maybe it may have been noticed as being a little slow at points because it started out so fast. Like, you get thrown into that movie. And
see,
then after
slow,
that,
though.
Well,
it,
I wouldn't say
it
was slow.
I
wouldn't say it was slow. I wouldn't have considered it slow, but I can see where there are definitely peaks and valleys to the tempo of that movie.
I feel like, though, like, and when you said that, I kind of went into the movie expecting that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I listened to it before I went to the movie.
And we tried to not talk about it.
But I feel like
not successfully.
Fail.
I can't do it.
I think the reason I didn't see that happening was because everything that was down tempo was funny as hell to me.
That's what I thought too.
So everything that I didn't notice that it had slowed down because I was laughing my ass off at stupid things that Michael Cera was saying or that Wallace was doing.
Maybe me describing it as slow was a bad word.
But I'll tell you,
I don't know how to describe.
There would be scenes in the movie where I would laugh because I think something funny would be said, and I would look over at you, and you were just watching the movie.
Wow!
Yeah.
But I saw. I don't know if they fell flat on you or if maybe. And I'm talking to Sean.
I enjoyed it, but I don't really know. Slow is the best word I can use to describe it, but it's probably an incorrect definition.
You have to watch it again, I guess.
Yeah,
because I felt like it was fast. Because the books go through such a different span of time, whereas I felt like this was so compressed into a matter of weeks.
I didn't feel like weeks. I felt like days. I felt like the whole thing was like 2 or 3 days.
Oh yeah,
I didn't really get weeks.
I thought it was like a week at best. Like that's kind of
basically
what,
don't know what I'm talking about.
I basically got a week
about.
Out of it.
The Comic-Con thing is a very valid excuse because I know if I went to Comic-Con, I wouldn't want to see anything related to it for like a month and a half, and
that was the problem, that I was expecting this like huge thing and it just kind of things fell a little flat.
Yeah,
and it's not that the movie's bad, it's that I went
the
in
hype
with
machine. Yeah,
I never go into movies with expectations.
What?
And I went into this movie with a certain level of hype.
Right.
I mean, because, all the actors were at the Eisner Awards, and I got to see all of them, and Thomas Jane was there, and
all this crazy stuff.
How do you guys think it handled the whole being a kooky movie yet still appealing to the mainstream?
I guess the person that could really, I wish she was here, my girl Jordana, because she loved it, and she had never read the books, and she just didn't like Kick-Ass. One of the things she was saying is, it was kind of overly silly and everything. That was one of her few complaints about the movie, but she was into it. She was all in on Scott Pilgrim.
It is kind of
Kick Ass is silly because it's taking itself seriously.
It was some silliness. That little girl killing people, that was silly.
Disturbing.
Oh, so you're one of those. Wow.
All right, we're not going to turn this into Kick Ass
2. Wow. No.
So Heather and Joel would get together and have fun together, being all old and buddy duddies.
That little girl just said
She said a swear word.
It wasn't even her language. It was when she cut that dude's leg off. I was like, holy shit.
And everybody else was giving people high fives.
Hey, Joel, let's go somewhere, pray and vote for Bush again or something like that.
Jesus So you think it handled the balance between being...
I think it did. I think it definitely did. Only thing a person would need to know, and I think that the advertising has done a very good job of preparing people hey, this isn't a serious movie.
Yeah,
like,
it's going to get stupid.
It's pretty stupid. By the way, don't take this too seriously, these action scenes and everything. And if a person's prepped for that, then I think you can just enjoy the movie. It's just hilarious, some of the stuff.
I swear to God, and I guess if you haven't seen this, go fuck yourself, because, we're going to...
Why are you listening?
You're lame, anyway, if you haven't seen this, because Adam takes, 3 weeks to turn these things, so... the movie's been out, a month and a half, so...
I swear, when Knives' face turned into the fucking emoticon...
I
thought I was going to, piss on myself, because I was laughing, extra hard at that.
You just reminded me of Sunday. Can I just bring it, because I won't remember if we don't talk about it now. It was a lot of stuff was the very same lines. I think I said this to you in the theater. A lot of stuff was the very same lines from the book. So much racist, boys were racist
it's
with
so much
sense.
More racist. So much more racist. Like when you like with not Chinese food,
when I was like to come back to your house over Chinese food, I was like, oh, that was so racist. Yeah. Like, oh, you can't say that.
Well, that's the point of Scott Pilgrim.
I know.
Scott Pilgrim,
character. Loud at that point. He's
yes,
so
I was, yes,
unaware.
The two black people that were
two black people said that was racist.
We're having a conversation about racism.
No, when Scott you said Pilgrim that, I think so that was the point. I was like, oh my god, Ted, stop being the stereotype. I was like, oh, it's racist. Like, Scott Pilgrim, don't go behind that door.
It wasn't that bad.
So okay, so Heather is conservative and also racist. Right, now we're knowing
I
the
think
truth.
The point that you're trying to get at is that Scott Pilgrim is not a very self-aware
Scott
character.
Pilgrim is oblivious to.
Oh yeah, he is.
And that's hilarious.
Yeah,
exactly, but I think everyone else knows. No one really like holds it to him. Like he tells tells his roommate leave. That's, like yeah,
that's Scott.
Up.
Well,
they've known him. They've known him forever, and he's just kind of there.
That's Scott.
Yep.
Wah, bah, 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 bah.
He's the guy on the couch.
Yeah, but I think everybody has a Scott Pilgrim in their life.
Oh fuck yeah!
And you just are like, you just make excuses for them, and that's what they all do with him.
Yeah,
we call it Kung Pao Chicken.
Yes,
God,
that was
rough.
Brutal.
Well, I will tell you, if one thing I've learned about Canadians, they hate Asians.
Yeah, according to that movie.
Well, no, I think they kind of. Well, according to the
I thought it seemed like Asians were
the Asian guy who wrote the movie. Yeah, I mean, wrote the.
I thought Asian guy. I thought Asian women would be a boon in there because everybody's like, "Oh, she's Chinese." Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. She's 17. Ooh.
There are a lot of Asians in Canada,
Never
especially
Canada.
Western Canada. A lot of Asians.
Is Toronto Western Canada? I don't know.
No, it's kind of central-ish, I think. Mm. I don't know. I'm some mystical.
It's not
land
in America.
Canada.
America's
America,
hat.
Jack.
Now, what about the? We talked about the emoticon. What about the use of? What about the use of the video games and all that stuff?
Oh, that's so fantastic! They played the Final Fantasy baseline for real.
That was awesome.
That I was like, yes,
wow. He really does.
They
know
had
that.
The
Legend of Zelda was
Legend
in there.
Legend of Zelda movie, yeah. Music, songs Super Mario 3.
Yes,
like that was a little bit of everything in that.
So good. I had to explain some of the stuff to Jordana because she's
a
gaming generation behind.
What's funny is though, it's like I feel like the game, it's definitely for the gaming generation, of course. But I think pretty much anybody can go into that because I went in really wanting to see the fights.
Yeah,
like I thought the fights when I looked at the commercial, I thought they were well choreographed, and
they're
then
awesome.
And then I looked at, like when I saw the movie, I was like, wow, this is just like light years beyond what I was expecting as far as fights go. So.
Michael Cera's stunt double needs to be an action
Yeah,
star.
He needs to be, yeah. Somebody needs to give that guy a fucking high five.
But to go back to the video game, I don't even think it... See, I didn't even think it was just video game reference. I thought it was like just more of a pop culture kind of reference. Like, the funniest part for me, like one of the few things I think... I guess everyone caught it was the Seinfeld
theme. The Seinfeld,
I laughed my ass off and they had like the studio audience laughing for like 5 minutes. I was like, it's fucking hilarious.
It was just like Edgar Wright... Like hit all the notes, just like I felt like everything was.
I mean, just like all his stuff he does is like all these pop culture references.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you were a child in the 80s and the 90s, you'll know this.
Totally understand
this.
Yeah.
So good.
What about I guess the use of like the information boxes, like kind of how we're in the book and everything.
I thought they were a little fast. I thought they were like on screen. They blipped up like. Really quick, and then went right the fuck away. Like,
yeah,
immediately.
The very first one in his room, you couldn't read all those.
Yeah, it lost the humor effect of that first sight.
Exactly,
because first sight got everything, but you really couldn't. Like, I knew the joke, so I kind of giggled a little. But then, like, I read, I was like, you really couldn't follow what was going on. Like, you know, what was it? Scott's
Code
Wallace was better. Yeah.
It actually broke into animation a couple times.
Yeah, it was good when they showed
the
they showed the Ramona's history. I saw that was animated, right? Then when her history with the boyfriends and stuff, which made it was a good nice nod to the comics and a good way to save on the special effects money, probably. You know, I actually have to show Superman flying through the moon. So
very much like
I think about that. Yeah.
Terrence brought up now that he's walked away. Terrence brought up the fight scenes and the choreography, and you brought up like the stunt double and things like that. I mean, do you think all that was handled well? The fights in general,
it was really good. Like, and everything even tied together in the end with the final fight scene with that kind of Ninja Dance Dance game they were playing. It tied everything in. Everything looked smooth.
Which is another thing. Like, I thought where the movie did it better than the book, yeah. I thought the way that they tied those in was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It was... I thought that was... Now that Terrence isn't here, he's still reading the book.
I think it was legit. I mean, like, I was legit into the fight scenes. Like, I thought they were just going to be, like, these over-the-top, ridiculous kind of, like, you know, people powering up or doing weird shit. But it was actually, like, some kind of pretty interesting shit.
My least favorite fight scene was the first one. I was like, oh, God, is this how they're going to do it? And it starts out, and it's just like, okay, this is really... Just
the guy breaking into song threw me off.
Yeah,
that, I was like, wow,
was
really,
that was fantastic. I thought that was incredible.
It was kind of funny, but I was like, this is all going to be old. Yeah. That was actually a little too over the top, but it was.
But like that funny, first,
it was an isolation because they were just really trying to play up how cheesy he was.
Yeah, and that first fight scene was absolute. It was an absolute homage to all of the Street Fighter games that are out there. So I mean, like, they got that out of the way, like right at the beginning.
KO.
And it was awesome. I mean, you could have just put Dalsim in there instead of Matthew Patel.
That was funny.
But I think
it would have been just like a Street Fighter game.
What was it, Evil Hipster Demons?
Yes! Fucking awesome.
I think eventually it caught its pace, but I do think it started out kind of rough. And I was worried that that's what the tone of it was going to be throughout the rest of the movie. But I think eventually it did catch a likable
pace
to it. But I didn't really enjoy it when it first... started the fight, the first fight. Yeah.
All right. I had to step away. Did we talk about music already?
No, not really. No, we were talking about the fight.
I am not cool enough to know how awesome the music is. Like, I didn't know
the music
was
is fucking incredible.
Right. I have the soundtrack.
I've got a couple things about the music that I have to say. The music was fun. It was good music. I will say that basically the bass line and every song is the exact same.
Good point.
But I think that fits the Scott Pilgrim character.
Yeah.
Because I could easily see Scott Pilgrim only knowing one bass line.
Well, that's the thing is that the group is not supposed to be all that good.
But
so.
That's the thing I was telling Terrence. They're good, I think, in the movie.
Of course they're good in the movie.
Because they have to be listenable. They're going to play more than one song,
so they have to be at least listenable.
But even in the book, I thought they came across as an enjoyable listen in the book. I mean, obviously people liked them.
I think, Terrence, I was talking about that earlier. I don't think they did.
No, I don't think they came across as a successful music, but I think they came across as people.
It seemed like Knives and Neil were the only people that liked them.
No, in the books, I mean, there's other people.
Because everyone else just
kind of
shrugged their shoulders when they were done. Like, no one else in the entire books had any reaction to them playing.
I feel like the thing about that is everybody else was just too cool for the room.
Like
the guy, Kamo or whatever his name is. Yeah. He had a bigger part in the movie than he did in the books. But
knows everybody.
He's definitely. Like that guy that I was for a long time, where I was just like, well, you know, everything you listen to sucks balls, you know?
Was.
Terrence's dude. Ted, come on, man. I got a long way to go to catch up with you.
Oh, man. I'm not a snob with music. I don't know anything good music. I don't know anything about music. I'll be the first one to admit that. But I definitely see it. I guess I just got the opinion that they were just bad. Because I remember, like, in the first, like, concert, like, Crash and the Boys obviously outshone them.
Right.
That was different in the movie.
Yeah, that was totally different. Like, I thought Crash and the Boys...
I was wondering how they were going to do, like, what was it, the one-second song? Yes. The 30-second song? Or something. How are they going to do that? And they didn't.
They totally did it.
What actually was, like,
I don't...
That was creepy way to walk over there.
I don't necessarily like the fact that so many of the fights tied into the Battle of the Bands.
Well, I think that was a good plot, good way to shorten things together.
To make the movie shorter.
You had to bring them in, tie them all together at some way.
And then also, as going over fights, the twin fight was just the whole musical face-off, as opposed to the background fight in the party.
I was fine with that because, like, again, it's going to be the movie was going to turn into just a series of parties.
You had to write them into another part, so you're adding 30 minutes to the movie.
But just to kind of have the dialogue between, I guess it was Ramona and is it Kim Pine or whatever when the robots are fighting in the background.
Yeah.
Doing tequila.
I think that could have been a good scene that would have been easily carried to have a serious conversation going on in the front ground while like this ridiculous fight. And I think they could have done that, and maybe it was. Maybe it would have been too expensive.
When they changed a couple of like people in scenes, like Brandon Rouse's character. What's his fucking... The vegan.
Yeah, Todd.
Todd, yeah. Todd punches
Punches knives instead.
Yeah, instead of robot arm
girl. Totally rolled out, robo arm girl.
Yeah, like, so I mean, like, they. I think what you're saying is, what I'm getting at is that they could have done that, that scene with maybe, instead of having Kim there, it, they could have done it with Ramona and somebody else. But.
Yeah, I just think, I think they missed an opportunity of a fun scene. And honestly, like, watching the movie, I couldn't even remember how the twins' fight was until we did the Scott Pilgrim book podcast. I was like, oh, that's right, that was such an awesome scene.
But I was like, you know what, though? I thought, like, they had obviously blown budget by the time...
Because
they didn't have a robotic arm and they didn't have a giant robot, so obviously they were like, "Oh shit, we're completely out of money." So
yeah,
but I, that being said, I did like the Battle of the Bands thing where
the way they tied everything in.
Yeah, and not just
I thought it was pretty tight.
I thought the twin scene was pretty cool,
tightly tied together.
I thought the twin scene was pretty solid too, with them getting they really got blown away at the beginning of that.
Yeah,
which was pretty hilarious to me, but like two notes of music.
But it was interesting how a lot of the fights weren't just Scott Pilgrim and, you know, whoever he was fighting.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Ramona fought a little bit more in the movie, I think, than she did in the books.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then also, well, the last fight.
Well, did she? Yeah, the last fight was, I like
the I thought the last fight was pretty
fucking
awesome.
I really liked the ending. I thought it was really good.
Well, I guess we're not there yet. We won't go there.
Okay. I don't care.
I definitely have a favorite when it comes to book versus movie on the ending.
I think it's clearly the movie.
If I know what you're talking about, I completely agree.
Yeah, I think it's clearly the movie the way it is.
I'm hearing the movie is, like, everybody that I know that saw the movie and read the book are saying movie.
The movie ending is way more digestible than the book ending. It's a more digestible ending. Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. And it gives you more closure. It makes more sense.
Which in itself has to be kind of a weird phenomenon, don't you think? That, like, someone can come outside of the project and find a more kind of, I don't know, appropriate. Palatable is a good word. A lot more palatable ending for it than the father of the actual creation is carried along. But see, that's a little. Yeah. It seems a little awkward there. Do you think, like, you know, Brian Lee O'Malley saw the movie? Is like, well, shit, I wish I would have thought of that, or maybe I need to change some things around.
I'm pretty sure they compare some notes.
I don't think you can see the design. You can see the design of the club. The design of the club is the same.
Yeah.
Like Mega Sky, things like that. Yeah. Certain things you can tell compare some points.
Like, he was probably halfway through Volume 6 when,
when also,
this shit wrapped. Yeah.
O'Malley spent, what, 8 years or something, we figured, on that book, and Wright spent 3?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so...
So, I mean, what are you going to do?
I think they had a lot of feedback back and forth from what I understood. Well, like, being at the Scott Pilgrim panel. I went to the Scott Pilgrim panel at San Diego, and it sounded like the two of them talked about how they were going to end it and how he was going to end it, and they gave each other feedback on Volume 5 and Volume 6.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 5 was awesome. Six was good, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I like 6 less after seeing the movie. I don't know how to explain if that makes sense. I think the ending, the way it makes sense.
I agree.
Seeing the end of the movie is kind of like, man, really? That's the way we did that one?
I honestly, like, when I finished 6, I thought, like, you know, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was the best, obviously. But after seeing the movie and seeing the end of the movie, I liked 6 less. I think I did.
6 jumps around a lot.
Well, and not even, I mean, just the very end, the closure, the end, and all that stuff. The way the movie handled the entire, you know, last scene was better than the way the book, or at least I enjoyed it more than the way the book handled it.
At least the door was the coming through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made that work.
Somehow. I don't know how they pulled that off.
Yeah. I really, but I mean, like, I don't know, man. It's just the movie. It's funny because the movie is, and I guess when you go back and read the book in retrospect, the movie and the book are both just a series of sight gags. It's really just a bunch of, like, crazy sight gags and ridiculous dialogue.
Yes.
To me, that made for a great movie. Like, I felt like the movie was entertaining the entire time. Like, I didn't see a time in the movie where I was like, shit. Like, it wasn't like Transformers 2 where the whole college scene, I was like, fuck this crap.
Watch yourself around Transformers 2. Yeah, I said
you. No, you didn't. You were talking about how your little cousin or whatever fell asleep during it.
Yeah, that was awful. No, that was the spirit, I think.
Oof, no, that's even worse.
Said, dude, I want your quote 3 hours was, of my life
if
back.
If a movie can't keep a 13-year-old's attention with a girl and motorcycle,
that was that movie
robots
then,
or
yeah.
some shit.
You, it's not a good movie.
Spirits, bunch of garbage.
Man, that movie wasn't very good.
There was I don't think there was a time while watching the movie where I was like, while I was watching the movie, I thought, ah, God, they really fucked that up compared to the way there was a time. I don't think
there was one. Well, there's one
annoying.
Thing.
There's one annoying thing to me.
There was one thing that really bothered me, and I think it's because it's how much I like this character.
Kim Pine.
No,
it was really
Kim Pine. Envy shouldn't even been in the movie.
No,
the way they did it, because it was just totally unused as a character.
Yeah.
Wasted. Actually, made the story a little harder to understand. See, I think, you know, when I heard Envy was coming on, I was like, oh, you had this sense of foreboding because you know everything that went down, but. I don't think you get any of that from the movie.
Really?
I feel like you understand some bad shit went down, and now she's big, but such. I mean, she's so minimized. Even as the part of the band, I mean, Todd is the person you focus on.
Yeah, but
as part of the band, you don't focus on her.
She definitely serves a purpose of showing that Scott didn't move on.
Yeah, and then he's got relationship issues.
Yeah, he's got issues. Like she shows.
But couldn't they have done that just because they already kind of like they did the whole hey Scott you're just a shitty womanizer, and I think they could have done just as well by showing him developing from that. They could have just played him as a womanizer, like hey you know all these girls
he's
you dated.
He's not a womanizer at all though.
But yeah, but
that's
he
not
is
his character.
If you listen to him, like but if you listen to his history, they go through all these girls that he just had all these like little
he's just
these
apathetic.
Quick flings with.
He's
then,
just not a good boyfriend, and he's pretty apathetic about the whole relationship thing. He likes having a girl, but he doesn't like putting the time and effort into having a girlfriend.
I think he was a womanizer.
I don't think he's a womanizer.
I think he was.
I don't think he's a womanizer.
The makes him seem
is.
Like more of a womanizer
I think he
than
is.
The movie does.
See, maybe that's my read on it.
I didn't see him as a womanizer either. I just see him as...
I did. Just because he had the bad experience with I mean, just how easy he was, like, the knives thing was the kind of the nail in the coffin. How easy he was able to just kind of, like...
I don't think it's not.
And you can't say he wasn't cognizant of her feelings because he was dreading doing it. So he was well aware of her feelings that he was going to crush
she's
the girl.
He's just a bad person.
He just didn't want to get up and do something.
You don't care. You just do it.
I agree. He wasn't aware of her feelings. He wasn't afraid to do it because he was aware of her feelings. He was afraid to do it because he didn't want to have to deal with the aftermath of it, is what it is.
No,
it had nothing to do with her feelings.
I saw womanized there. I think they could have played that up enough in the movie. I don't think you needed envy in the movie the way she was used. I think she just complicated
I think you misread the woman. Womanizer thing. I don't think he's a womanizer.
Well, I think you misread it, so whatever.
Which is why I don't think they played it up in the movie, because it's not there.
Yeah.
It is there.
No.
They go through the laundry list of women he went through, and how long had it been since he and Envy had broken up? It hadn't been that long.
I don't know. I don't remember all that.
It was 431 days.
It's his last haircut, and he got a haircut before he broke up, so a little over a year, and they went through the list of people he hooked up with. And all these people were just quick kind of fling relationship things.
I think you guys like
Scott Pilgrim too much to.
Oh no, I
admit
hate
that
character. I do not like Scott Pilgrim.
I think
said
he was
that
a bit of a womanizer.
Book.
It's funny because nobody likes Scott. Like I'm starting.
I liked
to see
him a lot more
a
in
lot.
The movie than I did in the book.
Yeah, but he was just funny in the movie. That's the
thing.
Well,
that's the thing. That's
if you boil him down to like him just being kind of a tool bag, he is kind of a tool bag.
And that's when like if you read like you know part of the casting decision for him, that's why they picked Michael Cera. They wanted someone that the audience would still be behind, even as he's saying and doing all this. Shit,
fucked
you know,
up shit, yeah.
As he's cheating on a 17-year-old, it's kind of sketchy.
Now you had mentioned like since the last haircut and all that, and something they played up in the movie a lot that they didn't play up as much in the book was the hat.
That was awesome.
I thought it was annoying.
Really?
I didn't like the way they did it in the book.
I thought
it
was funny.
I thought it was annoying.
That was hilarious. He kept popping on
the
hat.
Like, yes, we get it. It's a hat, and he's got his hair. He's not blah blah blah. I didn't like that. I thought they did it. It was more subtle in the book, and they put it in your. They did it in your face in the movie. They're like, and here it is with his hat trick. Ooh, look at that! He's got hair he doesn't like. But in the book, it wasn't like that. It was subtle. It was like, oh, yeah, he is wearing his hat here and there because he's not comfortable with his hair. Huh. But they put it in your face in the movie, and I thought they should have left
funny.
It subtle.
I thought it was quite funny.
There's. Look,
nobody would have picked up on it.
Nobody would have picked up.
But
on
I think
that'd
have been
and
okay.
As crazy and in your face as everything else was in that movie, a subtle trick like that wouldn't have been like it wouldn't have been noticed.
But maybe
all.
The movie needed a little bit of subtlety because maybe the second time you watch something, you're going to want to go, "Oh man, I didn't notice that." The
so
first
you're
time.
Assuming everyone's going to watch. You have to draw people in to get them in the second time.
So that one joke didn't.
isn't a make it or break it
I
joke.
Mean, it helped.
That's,
it was funny.
That's a good point.
And there were
though.
A lot of people laughing in that movie. I think there was a lot of people laughing when that happened, though. I'm saying when the, as that was going
even
on,
the
a lot of people laughing.
Time it happened.
I think it lands. I don't think that was a stand. I think every time it happened, it landed. I mean, it was funny
it was
when
that,
it happened.
It was that much more ridiculous each time.
Yeah, I thought it was more annoying each time. I went the opposite way on that one.
He's just a womanizing guy that likes to change hats.
That's the same hat. It's the same hat every time.
Well, I mean, like he likes to change into his hat.
It's just every time he's reminded of his hair, all of a sudden his hat shows up.
I thought it was funny.
I thought it would have been more funny if it wasn't so in your face about it.
It's a womanizer. I'm going to go back to that. I'm not giving up on that.
I'll have to read through those
again. This should be our first poll on the
website.
Well, Scott Pilgrim womanizer. And
I'll throw it on there.
Everyone that's not an idiot will agree with me.
Well, and it kind of makes sense, too, because attitude
to the website.
Women.
Vote.
Because
is Scott
women are going to chase
Scott
guys
woman?
Who are disinterested.
Yep.
And he's just Scott disinterested in general.
See, there it is. That's what it is. He has a whole disinterest. He's like the guy on VH1 that just says, oh, I don't know. He's like aloof and everything, so he draws women.
No.
They're like, he's ignoring
me. I do think he draws women because he's aloof, but I don't think it makes him a womanizer.
No.
I think he's a womanizer. No. Maybe conscious or unconscious, but he is. He goes, he is.
He's not.
How is he not?
Ted, do you see a little Ted and Scott Pilgrim?
No, God. I was never that good with the women. I wish, God, I'd be a fucking machine if I could put on that kind of level
Scott
of apathy.
Pilgrim does
I
would
be fucking recording a podcast with you guys right now.
Scott Pilgrim does not actively go out and seek women all the time. They just kind of show up.
But he doesn't turn them away. No.
But that doesn't make him a womanizer.
Just from what we know in the movie, he picked up a random delivery girl who's delivered a package to his door, and he picked up a 17-year-old
on
a bus.
Okay, she was right,
that was some strong.
With her mom.
And, by the way, let's put this in. That's within
random.
Like a 2 week.
She was in his dreams.
That's like within a 2 week window of time.
She wasn't random.
All right. She was in his dreams.
But at the time, he didn't know why she was in there.
Niles was getting annoying.
That's still picking. I mean, like asking most guys out there that aren't like fucking. I don't know. Famous, like picking up two chicks within 2 weeks is a pretty good 2 weeks for you.
Yeah, but
that's
a pretty good two weeks for you.
You're acting like these women just like threw. He actively went after.
He's
borderline sketchy because he went out and ordered something just because he found out that girl was a delivery girl. He stalked her at the entire night of the party. So he's a womanizer sketchy.
He didn't actively seek her out. I don't know.
Have you not met a girl and started like hanging out and maybe dating a girl only to like a week or so later when you were younger, like find another girl who was like, oh wow.
That's awesome if you were like 15 to do. Like
well,
you're 22.
This character is.
No, yeah. But still,
I miss this whole thing. But I can.
He's 22.
I'll jump on your side of this
he's
one.
He's 22. So, no, that is unacceptable behavior. That is unacceptable behavior
but
for a 22-year-old.
That's the whole point.
That is his character.
He's 22.
All right,
but
this
not
doesn't change the fact he's not a womanizer.
He's a womanizer. He's a 15-year-old in a 22-year-old's body.
He is sketchy.
He doesn't have a job. He doesn't do shit. Like
you're making him sketchier. You're putting tally marks on the sketchy side of the page.
I don't see him as a womanizer.
But he's sketchy
because Michael Cera is cute. If they would have had someone else that was like some other body plan, that role would have come off like Chris Hansen to Catch a Predator type level. Like he's scheming out around some 17-year-old.
Yeah, it's not Steve Buscemi playing him.
I'm not going to say he's not sketchy. Because obviously, a 22-year-old who acts like a 15-year-old is a sketchy dude. That is sketchy. But I think that he's not a womanizer. He is a 15-year-old mindset when it comes to dating and women.
He picked up a 17-year-old girl on a bus with her mom.
Okay.
Dude,
does that make him a womanizer?
That's a womanizer move. If you saw one of your friends, you'd be like, you know what? That guy's a lady killer. Because every guy can't pull that off.
No, because he can go after the mom when
he's
also a womanizer.
Because a 22-year-old lady killer does not go after a 17-year-old.
Nope. The fuck you say? The hell you say, my friend? Oh, my God. All right,
let's say, okay, a 22-year-old outside of South Carolina.
No. Okay, hold up.
And Mississippi.
You don't go after a 17-year-old, date her for like 2 weeks, and maybe get a kiss out of it is not a womanizer.
He's a womanizer.
See, I agree.
No.
He's a womanizer.
He doesn't even get any.
But he was playing. No, that's
he
because
he
was
a womanizer. Hooks up with the 17-year-old and moves on.
Bails.
That is a womanizer.
Barney you act is like a womanizer.
It was a long-term relationship.
It's literally with Stinson is a womanizer.
He didn't have a chance. He goes out looking for a new woman.
Scott Pilgrim is not Barney Stinson.
That doesn't mean he's not a womanizer. It means he's not a very good womanizer. I mean, a good womanizer can steal it in one day.
He's got a womanizer. I think that's constantly looking for new women.
You guys are putting your positive feelings about the character
in the book,
and
Ramona
not seeing.
Leaves, and he stays on his couch for like a year.
There's nothing positive about what we're saying, though.
Lisa?
We're just not agreeing on that
he's
one point.
A womanizer.
I'm still saying he's sketchy as hell.
Lisa in the book.
What? Where's Lisa?
Lisa in the book.
Who's Lisa?
So you gotta remember Heather read this like last week.
I was like, wait, what? What happened?
Oh no, he never. Did he never get with Kim Pond for her? Or did he leave?
He left before.
Yeah, I don't.
What happened? No, because he was dating one chick, then she moved away, then she started.
He moved away. Then he started dating Kim. Yeah, he moved.
But he was dating Lisa before he dated Kim, right?
I believe so. And then Lisa comes back in the picture,
right?
And he's kind of almost getting a relationship going with her.
I thought.
While all this other stuff's going
on, Kim Pond. I think her character in the movie is way too flat and plain and annoying.
God, she was awful.
She was pissed. Mad.
She
was,
she is not
she
like that in the book.
Pissed.
She was just sad. Like,
every single comment was meh, meh, meh.
Oh, God.
This is Deli Meats.
Oh, I do not want to watch
how Deli Meats are made.
Oh, God. Turn it off.
Top Shot. Top Shot.
Oh, Top Shot's pretty badass.
Yeah.
So, anyway. but her character in the movie was terrible.
Very flat, very flat. But I mean,
she was just angry.
I wanted to choke her out with a plastic bag.
I kind of liked her though. I won't lie, because
really,
every fucking movie needs somebody who's like that.
But they even had in the that. They had book, Julie. She,
no, but no, that's no, Kim no, Pine. No, 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 no. Kim Pine was a completely different kind of shitty.
But she was exactly. a bitch, and she was just.
But no, Julie was a bitch.
But
Kim was
a
just
funny
apathetic
bitch.
In general, like.
I think they could have made Kim Pine a little bit more like she was in the book,
yeah.
And it would have been just as we get the point of the character.
Yeah.
I think they went a little too far.
She played like a zany, like that was her emotion. That like I think one of you guys said it best. Like each character was like an emotion. As you went through, and I think her emotion was just like the
anger.
Sarcastic, bitter, angry kind of one liner. That was literally, I don't think she, did she put two sentences together the entire movie?
Yeah. Didn't she say something about the 8-year-old drummer girl?
No, but again, was it more than just a sentence?
No.
They got a girl drummer.
A girl drummer. That was hilarious. Like, it even came up funnier with the little girl drumming.
That was fucking
but
awesome.
But Julie, I'm glad you, oh wait, was she nine or?
No,
nine
I
or eight
girl.
Or whatever.
She was going off.
And Julie in the movie with like the black box popping
yes.
over about
so how's
your
mouth?
Your mouth? Hilarious.
That was pretty awesome. I like that.
Yeah, I did enjoy how they like kind of broke that wall there. That was go ahead. Tyler.
I love the casting of Julie because I love that actress.
And I think that I'm guaranteeing once they cast her, they probably gave her a little more meat on. Like she's from a
she's
Community.
A Parks and Rec.
I see that.
Oh, Parks and Rec.
And that's kind of her character on Parks and Rec.
Yes. I came around on her. I wasn't digging her. I'm like, I'm all about her now. Yeah, I could get down with that.
In the movie, they don't do the whole like kidnap Kim Pine scene, do they?
No, but if you watched Adult Swim, you would have seen it.
Ugh.
Well, I watched Adult Swim, but I don't remember seeing
it. Aside from the wave song
that
was in that thing, I didn't like it.
The scene when Kim Pine is in the cage and Scott Pilgrim has to come save her.
They didn't do any of that.
That's not
any of that.
Was that Kim Pine? I thought it was Ramona got
locked
away.
No, that's after Ramona leaves.
I thought Ramona left after that.
No, because he's supposed to come save Kim Pine.
To volume 5.
He's supposed to be safe because he's kind of like blowing it off or whatever. Okay, dokie.
Heather, you read this last week. Why don't you tell us?
I'm trying to remember.
Now we mentioned the animation.
I've been
Heather
lot.
Mentioned
Screw you guys.
Heather mentioned the animation. I thought if anybody watched the Adult Swim animation, that it felt really flat.
Yeah.
And if anybody had almost interest in seeing the movie after seeing the animation, I would have lost interest in seeing the movie if I didn't know anything about it.
Like I said, it had the wave song in it that I liked.
It was completely lifeless.
It was kind of like, why did they even do
yeah, this? it was like 4 minutes long, and it was flat, and it didn't say
and
anything about
it. And it was divided into two different
had,
segments.
Like, fake bad voice actors.
Yeah, no,
like,
no.
That was them. That was,
really? That
yes.
was a really bad Michael Cera impersonation of Michael Cera.
Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Oh, that was them actually doing the voice?
Yeah, because at first
there's
I was like,
no fucking way that was Michael Cera.
Yes, it was.
That is an atrocity.
Because there were parts somewhere. Oh, yeah, yeah, I was like, that's right. Definitely Michael Cera. Then I was like, no, was. That's not Michael Cera.
Absolutely, it was the actual actor.
That was just a waste of 5 minutes of their life.
It's only four.
And it's probably still
wasted
five.
Yeah, it still wasted 5 minutes of my life because I had to go from Twitter to there.
Yeah, you guys are right.
To find it.
Kim Pine?
Yeah, Kim Pine. And he's saving her ass. And as soon as he walks in the door, that's when Mona does her disappear thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because
she's a C word.
So you're halfway through volume six, Terrence.
Yeah. I really I can already tell that I'm gonna like the ending of the movie more than
I really wanted
like
to talk about what I like about the end, like the movie.
Go for
you
it.
Don't
I don't
worry
care.
About
I don't
it.
Give a fuck.
I guess we can talk about how it doesn't end is mainly what it is. My favorite thing is in the movie when he gets the extra life, how he replays the entire scene
that
again.
Was so
that
cool.
Was awesome.
That
doesn't
cool.
occur in the book. In the book, he just picks up
just
where
pops
he left
up
off.
From where he left off, okay.
And then it gives and I think it gives you the more feeling like of how he's changed, even just how he regarded
absolutely.
His bandmates. That was huge, and I love they worked in the all black outfits.
Yeah.
By the way, they planned yeah. that was awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my favorite thing about the difference between the endings.
Okay,
is what did you have? You had something. Different
I had.
Too.
Well, I really dug that. Another part of it was the handling of Nega Scott.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just a hilarious. I was like, oh man, it's going to be another huge fight scene. And it just the way it ended, it was hilarious.
It ties into the fighting the Nega in the game. And it actually shows up in Nega Scott in the book. It's just very
so,
past.
It's so funny. Like, hey, we're going to, what do you say? We're going to get brunch tomorrow or something?
It turns out we have a lot in common.
Yeah. You have a lot in common. He's a really nice guy.
So good.
I really like that a lot better.
So even his Nega Scott is complete slacker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
so they both don't have money.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's like little salt and like side gas as they're playing a video game. It's like, continue. This guy's kind of like, gesturing to the screen. I get it.
I don't have any money.
A quarter in the video game.
That's him being sketchy and using her for money. So he's a gold digger.
Sketchy womanizing gold digger, huh?
Kanye.
Not much in the. Not much like him. Well, okay. I remember when it came out. I guess before we get into the comparisons against the book, I remember when it first was announced. A lot of people had like some really strong initial thoughts about the casting.
Yeah.
How do you feel like how it played out after seeing everybody?
I always thought Michael Cera was a pretty damn good casting.
Yeah.
Who the fuck else would have played him? Like, really?
It's
who
true,
else would have? Like, name somebody. Nobody can.
My favorite casting was Culkin as Wallace.
Yeah, Culkin as Wallace was really good because he just brought a lot to the character. And
yeah,
also like Stephen Stills, like the guy looked just like him.
Yeah,
Gideon. That was the best casting in the movie.
The problem with Gideon.
Dead on.
That was dead on, except for the fact that I knew who Gideon. I knew that he was playing Gideon before I even saw what Gideon looked like in the book.
Well, you kind of had
so
seen him already.
You saw
him back in volume 3. You knew what he looked like. His shadowy figure. And even in attitude, that was awesome.
His shadow looked just like Jason Schwartz's shadow.
It was a short guy with long, dark hair and glasses. He had a shadow. You could tell that.
Even the Gideon character in the movie makes more sense than the Gideon character
in the
book.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, especially in the end. Like, even makes way more sense. How he comes and he buys the band, basically.
That's awesome.
You know, like,
everyone signs a contract. Yeah. I'm not signing this.
If there's a reason why there's a club there. Like, the club just shows up in the book, and I'm just like, what the hell just happened? What do you mean there's this club here all of a sudden? Did I miss a, like, 5.5 or something that I did not read?
It's going to come out in a year or so. 5.5. What happened between?
What about the
X's? The casting of the X's.
That's a good question.
Dead on.
That's a good question.
I'll put it like this. I liked Brandon Routh after I saw him on screen. I didn't like him initially as Todd.
I'm sorry, but I hate that guy.
Really?
You're a Chuck watcher, that's
yes,
why.
Yes, I am a Chuck watcher.
Everyone that watches Chuck hates
him. I hate that guy, but
holy
I hated him
shit.
Before that because Superman Returns put me to sleep in
not
about
his fault.
10 minutes.
Not his fault, though.
10 minutes.
Bryan Singer's fault.
All right,
his.
I gotta say,
stop
though,
it.
If the guy says, hey, by the way, you know your greatest weakness is kryptonite, but in the movie you're gonna fly a giant mountain of kryptonite to space, he should have raised his hand and said, nope, I call bullshit.
Yeah, well, hey, look.
I call bullshit. It just, it's not possible.
That's like me saying Ryan Reynolds should have said, hey, look, this fucking outfit looks ridiculous. Like that, I mean.
Why don't you just make me a suit?
Yeah, exactly. Hey. You
He's
know
like,
how you guys
I
did Batman suit?
Out. Put me in spandex,
and Superman
bitches.
Had a suit too? Why don't I just have a suit?
Yeah. Have you seen his
absolutely
abs?
Absolutely not. We're going to put $5 million worth of fucking CGI on you.
Have you seen his abs? Put him in some spandex.
I know. I want to see his abs in spandex.
Yeah, I know. I totally want to masturbate to it. Ugh.
Yeah.
Shut up.
But no, but...
in Blade 3, that guy
DeBrant, seeing him, seeing Brandon Roush in that blonde wig, I just could not... Hell, I was laughing. Initially, I didn't even hear a word out of his mouth. I just started fucking laughing.
Yes, and you did, because I was laughing my ass off.
It was hilarious just to see him in that blonde wig.
But the blonde thing looked cooler when he was using his powers. When he was just standing there, he looked like an ass.
He pretty much just went Super Saiyan. That was all it was. He just went, I didn't get what they were doing, but he just went Super Saiyan. That was all it was.
Thomas Jane busts in and takes all the power.
And Thomas Jane, it was fucking awesome. And then I didn't realize that T and I were talking before the show. I was like, that was another Arrested Development connection right there. Because you know, you had Michael Cera, you had Ann Veal, and then Thomas Jane was also.
Who's Ann?
Who?
What?
Just bring egg.
Sarah?
No, she's sitting right beside you. What?
Yeah, but
God. She's gotten a lot cuter since that show.
But yeah, Tom Jane was that was funny because he had a funny
Thomas Jane was in Arrested Development.
You remember when Lindsay was trying to swing and he was the homeless guy, the actor, that's right. And then, like, they took him to a construction site who just randomly say, "I just want my kids back." And everybody's looking at him like, "What the fuck?" Just trying to get my kids back.
Yeah, that's right. That is Thomas Jane.
That's awesome.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you see them up there. I watch that show daily.
Thomas Jane's pretty funny.
Yeah,
oh,
I saw him real life.
Speaking of abs, Thomas Shane,
delicious. And they give the gayest high five ever after they take their powers. After they take his powers, the high five is just emasculating.
He looked familiar too, but I couldn't place him.
The other guy was guy who was not Thomas Jane.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know who he was. He might have been someone's cousin.
He was the not immediately recognizable guy.
You gonna look up other vegan police guys?
I am glad that they had the vegan police in there.
I'll look it up.
They were one of my favorite parts.
Say what?
They were one of my favorite parts of the book. Yeah, I love the vegan police. Seriously, though, going back to what Ted said, I hated who they cast as MB.
Oh,
she was not pretty enough.
Her chin wasn't pointy enough.
Her chin wasn't pointy enough. Like,
she was supposed to be a knockout. She was supposed to be an utter knockout. Now, I don't want to be mean-spirited, but she...
The only thing I can say is I liked her boots.
I liked her song. Her song was fucking awesome.
I realized that you probably can't do the hair quite as ridiculous as you can in the book, but they could have at least tried harder than what they did.
And I gotta say, I've seen pictures of that chick. Like, she's hotter when she's not in the NB outfit, which is kind of... disappointing.
It could be Clifton Collins Jr. because him and Thomas Jane are both uncredited.
All right. So who the fuck is he?
Let's click on him and see what he's done.
Guy in background.
He was in Star
Customer
Trek.
Number two.
He was in Star Trek and Brothers. And
Brothers? Like, was that the movie with Mark Wahlberg?
That was Marky Mark. And that's a really good movie.
What?
Oh, come on. Wow. He's in Boondock Saints 2.
Oh, this guy has a strong start in his film career.
He's been a lot of things that I've never... He was in 2 episodes of The Shield.
Confidence Man 2.
Yeah.
I never saw Confidence Man 1.
What?
There were parts of the ending in the book that I liked better.
Yes,
like what?
Like the chicks that he's like just randomly like encased, and that's where he's really intending to put Ramona. Like... they just totally ignored.
Yeah, they didn't go inside their heads either.
No.
The whole inside your head traveling only happened like the littlest bit.
Yeah, and it was just Ramona and Scott.
Check her out normally.
That was so they could
more
explain
than
him
normal her
getting
than
the extra
made
life.
Up like envy.
The traveling in your head was
I think
mainly
you click
just so
on
that
the
they could explain the extra life thing.
Zoom in.
Yeah, well, not just that, but also I think just established that the movie was really fucking weird. You know what I mean?
They left out envy and Ramona's fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that just goes back to the whole play down the
but they changed that to like, didn't they change the Ninja Girl fight though? Wasn't that kind of
a lesbian fight?
Yeah,
it definitely changed that a lot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I felt like that kind of made up for the non-envy fight.
But Knives and Ramona, they fought like at the library.
Yeah, early on.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think it's just that just goes back to the whole like you know kind of downsized you know locations and events they had to with the, you know that whole library thing. It makes more sense
for her to attack her there because it's like a dumb 17-year-old girl fighting for like nothing.
Yeah.
Sketch. I guess because she was my favorite character in the books, I was disappointed.
Yeah, I was disappointed too. She's way played down. Like you really didn't get.
You're like. Why has he not cut his hair? Like, the relationship didn't seem that important.
Yeah, it's just like, you got the feeling that, like, you know, no one liked her, and then that it was kind of some bad stuff, but you really didn't. Like, you did. They could at least, I think the best thing, they could, like, the one scene in the book that really, like, you know, kind of crystallized it was, like, the whole, like, hey, Scott, get out of my life.
Yeah.
Like, they could have done, like, that. I think they would have just thrown it in for 5 seconds. That would have just done it. Just show them at the party, like, get out of my life, Scott.
Yep.
I think that would have done it.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Just a little flashback
would have been just simple. But yeah, I think it's just so much going on. I don't think, if you're not looking for Envy to play a big part in his life or play a big part in it, you won't miss it, I don't think. But
right.
I think since we were book readers,
I think because we all read the book.
Yeah, I agree. That could be.
And then you guys didn't even. And in fact, you guys didn't really pull it out. I think it was the, like, me and Heather that were the Envy fans that really were the ones that noticed.
See,
so
I'm
even
not
as
really,
a,
yeah,
that's the thing.
Really
so I think you had to be like an Envy fan, like, or be paying attention to it to kind
of
be into it.
Sold out. So I was like,
yeah,
fuck them all.
Clash
of the Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, like, to me, she was like Public Enemy number one, even though.
She's
I understand that people really would like her. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There was a big Stephen Stills reveal that was not included. I won't ruin it for Terrence because he got there. There was a big Stephen Stills reveal that was not a part of the movie.
But they didn't play any of that at all.
They didn't play
in the movie.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious that, like, ending. Hilarious little twist.
I noticed that they bounced back and forth between calling young Neil just Neil.
And then at the end of the movie,
they made a big deal out of it. And I'm like, but you were calling him Neil half the time anyway.
Yeah, that's true. In the book,
Scott never called him Neil.
Scott called him young Neil until the end of the movie.
So you are now Neil.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so Scott dubbed him Neil, even though everybody else didn't care. He always called him young Neil.
I thought in the books, everybody called him young Neil.
I'm trying to remember as well.
Everyone called him young Neil throughout. I don't remember them calling him Neil that much.
In the movie, they did.
In the movie, they
did.
I didn't catch it if they did.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that in the movie as well.
And I was like, especially since they made a big deal at the end, because I thought at the first when they weren't calling him young Neil consistently, I was like, okay, I think they're just going to let that go.
But then
when Nives texted him, didn't she still call him young Neil?
Yeah, she called him young Neil.
That was hilarious, that text message, by the way.
Yes.
It's like, you are fucking hot. Oh my fucking God, you are so hot.
And she got the fucking highlights knocked out of her skull.
That was funny.
Yeah. I was like, damn, he knocked out of her. Because, you know what? And I'll be honest, it caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting
you forgot
him to
it
jump
was
up.
Book ever.
I forgot he was going to jump up and punch her.
Like, well, I was expecting the chick's arm. Because like, they even showed her with the whole bandaged arm thing. I'm like, oh yeah, bionic arm time.
Yeah, so and when he got up and punched her, I was like, damn. Like,
you just got bitch slapped by
Superman. Is getting brolic.
That was funny.
I still like the again with the whole like Kieran Culkin and the Wallace, like the text message, like while he's like passed out drunk in the bed.
That was hilarious.
They played that scene perfectly as it was in the book. It was Wallace
maybe like the closest to the book in general in the entire movie.
And I like the relationship between Wallace and Scott's sister.
Yeah, which is in the book.
Yeah,
Steel's like, guy. That was hilarious.
Because
I knew it was coming, but just how they played it, it was so like he was just looking at him.
He's just master manipulator.
Tell your gay friends I said bye. He's like, what?
My friends?
His sister
friends.
Looks over. She's like, ah.
I tell you what was what I also like laughed my ass off, even though it was in every one of the commercials. Where Scott jumps out the window.
Yes.
That shit goes, was like five times as funny in the theater. I don't know why. It was hilarious in the theater. I couldn't figure out why I was laughing so hard at it.
I think partially it's Wallace's expression.
Yeah, the commercial didn't do it justice.
The lesbian thing, hilarious.
Yes, it was still funny. Yes, it was still funny. I saw that. I lesbians you.
Well, and it's funny. I actually cut that from the show where Sean ruins it because I was like, oh, did she ruin that? But it's in the commercial.
Yep.
He says it in the commercial. Like, after
no,
I.
The other
well,
L-word,
the second
lesbian.
Part of the I lesbians you isn't in there.
That's
but the
in
lesbian.
The commercial. I lesbians you is in the commercial.
Oh, it is.
Teddy,
really?
I mean, the text or
and like, it's after
it's
I'd already cut it.
It must be a newer one.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it was a newer one. because they probably saw the reaction. It was like,
yeah,
the I lesbians you.
Oh, jeez. I'm in lesbians with you. It's so
lesbians?
Funny.
Lesbians.
I love that they got other Scott in there.
Lesbians.
You got what?
They got other Scott.
Yes, other Scott.
Other Scott. The only question Jordana asked me, I think, during the movie, like when he woke up and it was like other Scott and then the other guy and then her sister's boyfriend and everything. She's like, so Scott gay too? I was like, no, he's just poor. She's like, oh, okay. Because it is kind of a little confusing.
He's just fucking sleeping in his bed.
Well, and he doesn't care.
And they really talked about that in the last podcast. And none of these girls seem particularly skeeved out that he shares a bed with a dude.
It's a Toronto thing.
I don't know. Maybe it is.
It's a hipster Toronto thing.
I think I would be like, the hell? I mean,
I can't speak about Toronto versus America, but I think if he was a black guy, I think if he was dating a black girl, she would have thought he was like gay and on the down low.
Absolutely.
That would have been a definite. It wouldn't even play.
The movie would have been 5 fucking minutes because it was like,
so you're gay.
I
just share a bed with a guy. No, so you're gay.
Yep, nah. Exactly.
I'm not
done and done. And that has been Black Perspective with Terrence and Ted.
What's going to be our like out song? We need some.
We're moving on up to the east side.
There we go. Counting you for the theme music.
Oh, we're fucking awful.
What else? Where do we got to go from here?
Do we compare it to the book? I guess we kind of have.
We kind of have. I mean, unless there's any other comparisons you'd like to make.
Well, any other things from the book missing that we haven't touched on that probably should have?
Well, the whole there's a lot missing from the movie.
I guess the better
like
way
the
of
whole Scott
that,
gets a job. None of that's in there, but you can't fit all that in. I understand, I guess, not just in terms of story.
Not to have a job in the movie at all.
Absolutely.
But was there anything I guess you wanted to see like visualized that wasn't there? I guess I know we talked about the robot fight, but anything else like that you just want to see?
I wanted to see them go through a pipe.
Yeah.
But I'm okay that they left it out.
Yeah.
They didn't put the +2 to girls thing on the hammer, which made me mad.
Oh yeah, they did not hammer.
Yeah, or it was like +5 against girls. They could have easily just put one of the blocks up there and said that
it was a sword that had the ratings. They didn't do that with the A. You're right. Yeah, they did that. The sword had that.
When she pulled the hammer,
they didn't do a lot of power ups throughout the movie like they did as much in the book.
No, there was no save point. I wish they had done the save point. That's what I really wish.
I gotta get the save point up and envy.
Yeah.
There were a couple references in there. I guess maybe they feel like they went too far on the video game. They didn't want to go too far.
Well, I think they did. I think they did fine, like, as far as the video game references. They did as much as they could without it being just ridiculous and stupid.
You know what's crazy? One of the crazy differences between the book and the movie, and I don't know if I'm ruining anything for Terrence or not. Probably not. But,
you're not going to. I don't.
In the movie.
Fuck! Really?
No, yes, absolutely. That's exactly the way it happened. Now, in the movie, Ramona does leave Scott and go to Gideon. In the book, she just leaves.
Yeah.
And that's a huge difference.
Yes. Right, right.
A huge difference in the way that was handled. In the book, Scott thinks she's with Gideon, and Gideon thinks she's like still with Scott or something.
Yeah.
And that's why they still have to fight. Just left.
Yep.
She's just gone.
Okay.
But in the book, she actually leaves him to go back to Gideon.
But she's got the chip.
Right.
Which makes sense in the movie when I saw that on the back,
I was like, what is that?
In the book, he's inside her head is the thing.
I think that's why she left. And I think that's why they did it physically instead of, because they didn't go into that whole thing with the
heads. Yeah, they didn't do too much of the subspace into the mind.
And I think that's why they had her literally.
But, like, that is a huge difference in, like, that character of Ramona.
Like,
the way you look at the character is completely different.
Yeah.
Like, in the book, she's just running away again. In the movie,
she's leaving him Gideon. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's completely different the way that was handled.
That's actually really...
I'll be honest, when I saw that little chip thing, I flashed to G.I. Joe. I was like, wow, really? Mind control with the chip? Are you serious?
Thing?
Are you freaking kidding me?
The Baroness.
Yeah, you would have had to see G.I. Joe for that.
I didn't even get that at first. I was like, is that in the comic? Like, oh, yeah.
Nope.
I was too busy focusing
on that. Wasn't even dumb enough for the car.
And Wayne's brother end up with Scarlet. Me, man. Really?
Are we done talking about Scott Pilgrim?
Well, I mean, I just made that awesome point, blew everybody's minds. So.
You did. I mean,
yeah, you did that into the beginning.
Yeah, you should have fucking, yeah, put that in the beginning.
I mean, I guess, yeah, I, and that's maybe one of the things that, again, I think, we, you know, the book spills over into my understanding in the book. I didn't really think of it like her leaving to go to Gideon. I mean, I thought she was, that was just her leaving again.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Yeah, she actually did go to Gideon.
Yeah. And he, wow. And
I missed all the changes with her hair.
Well, there were three at least.
Which is why I'm telling you it's more than a couple days. Because she says green. She changes her hair. Well, yeah, about
no, but no, but we like don't know the how book long still feels like before. 2 months worth of yeah, fucking word. You know activity, whereas the movie feels like a week and a half. Well, maybe.
And the first hair change could have taken place right. at any time because she already had that color.
The first hair.
So that's the first hair change.
The next hair change was just because she was with Gideon. So yep. It doesn't necessarily mean a passion of time.
Yeah, that. Yeah, they didn't.
So again, it was like a day. I think that was a day.
That being said, it was a
day. Well, no, let's think about it.
I mean, the sun does go up like and down a couple times.
Yeah, it does. It
yeah,
does.
And then she spent night over there, and I guess they had to go through that weekend when he was waiting for the package. So it was at least like a week, probably.
I think
Max.
It, yeah.
Oh,
Max.
A point that I wanted to make
could have possibly been a month.
Was that I really did I like all of like the editing in the movie. Like I liked a lot of like the overlap cuts and the jump cuts and stuff like that. I thought it were fantastic.
I'm glad I completely forgot to talk about that. That was when I came out of that movie, that's what I liked the most.
Yeah.
And in watching that movie, that was the first thing that stood out to me where I was like, holy shit, I really like the way they're doing this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, the scene cuts and the transitions were freaking...
were fucking flawless. Like, they were phenomenal. Just out of control. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You don't normally notice that in a movie, but when they're mm-hmm. done well, you go, oh, wow, that was really good.
And they didn't do... like, you know, like, when you'll watch a comic book movie, they'll do the comic book, like, panel changes.
Ugh.
But, like, this didn't do that. This mixed it up. Every single one of the transitions were so smooth.
Yep.
The way it would go from one scene to another without, like...
And you know you're in another scene, and you know you've been, like, kind of, like, pulled into another scene through that transition. So
I'm trying to think of what some of them were. Was there one where they, like, zoomed into an eye and then turned and, like, zoomed out, and it was, like, in a different scene or something like
that? I think there was a night and day transition that was, like, really, really good that I missed. I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember a lot of
them. The other thing is that you can't remember them,
it just
but they were, like, you know they were good. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that was the thing.
I'm trying to remember what they are, and I can't remember really any of them specifically right now. But I do remember.
I like the where he breaks up with Knives transition.
What?
Where it's like they show they show Scott, and then they show her fading,
and then the dark, and then he's fading. And then you start to see things. And he's getting happy. Sad, yeah, and then you start thinking about Ramona, and he gets happier.
Yeah. Like that was a really good transition. Womanizer.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up!
Breaking up with one girl as you're thinking about another. Oh.
Oh, tater.
Womanizer.
Fucking it
not
up.
Giving it up.
No.
It's not a Britney Spears song, my friend.
Wow, that's a gay reference.
Yeah, isn't it?
I didn't even know you were talking about. That is gay.
Man. What are you going to do? My wife watches TV.
Travis would have been like, you can give it to him later.
Sorry for Travis. Travis,
I do kind of feel sorry for Travis.
He's going to have like a nerd backlash one day.
Yeah,
like,
he is totally.
He's like, I don't give a fuck about Spider-Man. Just turn over a table and storm out.
Come back with a machine gun. To nerd Columbine.
I do need to share his two statements on Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, shit.
One, this is what he said. Better than the A-Team.
All right.
Because Blair, well, he said that to you.
Yeah, he did. And I was like, all right. That's exactly what I said.
It's like, you went to the A-Team?
Exactly.
All right, well, you and Brian Eisen are the two people I know that admits going to see that shit.
Way more about you than it does about Scott Pilgrim.
I like the A-Team, okay?
What was the second thing?
I posted on Facebook that Scott Pilgrim was awesome, and Travis posted under it, it would have been better if they left out all the fighting and just made it a romantic comedy.
Oh.
Which he was actually expecting nerd backlash, and surprisingly, like...
No, because that's actually a good joke. Like
yeah, people think he's being funny.
Yeah, yeah. People
he's
think
because you know what? Serious.
That's the thing I'm saying. Yeah, people think he's being funny.
That statement leads you to believe that he's actually read the books at some point. Like any nerd was like, oh shit, he read the books. He knows what he's talking about. No, no.
Are they about to have a duel?
I hope so.
I really
like someone's about to get shot in the face.
Are they shooting flares? Are they shooting a
Beretta Extreme?
Although I will say he did also really like the soundtrack.
It's a camouflage.
Okay, yeah, so I downloaded it.
He really liked the soundtrack.
Soundtrack
was really good.
The soundtrack is really, really good. Like
it's noticeable in the movie.
I mean, cool enough to get it, I guess.
And he did appreciate.
I mean, I like Broken Social Scene, and I like Beck. So I mean, it's like all right.
Apparently, Metric was at San Diego. Like they did.
And you just didn't. All right.
I didn't know.
Damn you.
They were doing some special thing, and they had a movie screen, and then they pulled up the screen, and then Metric played. Apparently, some like huge thing. I was like, I don't even know who that
is. No, that was for the like the game. They did a thing where Anamataguchi came out and played while people were playing the video game.
I don't even know who Metric is. I don't know who they are.
I was kind of disappointed there was nothing after the credits.
Oh, yeah, I told you guys that shit. You guys were waiting. I was like, yeah, I don't think this is the stuff.
I'm a credit sitter.
I told you guys, I was like, I don't think this is the stuff.
Sean and I sat and read through the credits.
Yeah,
sure.
I said this isn't a credits. I say if I know there's going to be some shit happening. This doesn't seem like a stuff after the credits movie.
Well, I mean, you never know. I like to stay just in case.
And I did love the 8-bit Universal
screen.
Dude,
that was awesome, man.
That's how they ended it, too. It was with the Scott Pilgrim 8-bit.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Download the game. It's awesome.
They have the 8-bit. What's the song? They have like Threshold and 8-bit or
something.
Yeah, on the
it was something like that.
What everybody just listened to was the Scott Pilgrim discussion. What you missed from the Scott Pilgrim discussion was us talking for about another hour telling funny ass stories about different topics.
Indeed.
Now, here's the thing. In the very near future, we're going to be starting up a members section of the Dollar Bin.
And that sounds fancy.
The member section is going to consist of these following things. It's going to be all of the cutting room floor stuff I used to post now going into the member section.
How are we restricting membership? Okay, well, first what else is going to be there?
All of us are going to get arrested based on the shit that he puts in that section.
The other thing
arrested
that,
for what?
Lawyer.
Okay, hold on. But I will say,
I am a Dollar Bin lawyer.
That even the cutting room floor stuff, sometimes stuff is just too bad to even put into that.
Yes.
So it's not going to be like completely all raw and uncut.
Freaking Helen Keller joke.
Funniest thing ever.
Who did that?
Oh God, I was actually Keller doing some joke. Sort of closing production thing.
Yeah,
he was.
He was actually doing some production.
Okay, sorry.
All right. I'll do that in a bit. Okay.
Sorry.
So that cutting room floor stuff is now it's going to be members section. Stuff. Anybody who signs up to be a member. Oh, and the members, I believe the number I'm floating around right now is $20 a year, which is not bad at all. Am I right?
That's very reasonable.
Very reasonable. It'll also consist of anybody who signs up will get that year's Dollar Bin anthology sent to them for free. Sweet. And then also another thing we plan on doing is monthly giveaways, whether it's maybe an original piece of art from a Sketch Charlotte member or something like that we can get donated. Comics, things like that, trades. Monthly giveaway to the Dollar Bin members. Some let's see, what other things I was talking about? I was actually considering inviting or letting people, as soon as I get the technology in place, listening to maybe some of the Dollar Bin shows live. If you're a member.
Wow.
I can send a picture of my girlfriend in a bikini.
you get a picture of
she's a size zero with double D's. I'm not lying. It's awesome.
And also a lot of the outtakes from interviews and maybe some of the interview things that don't make the cut. We're going to go ahead. And actually, what I'd like to do is maybe even talk to some of the people we're interviewing and say, hey, we're going to do a special segment for our members only at this point right here. So stuff like that. I'm going to post all this on the site in the very near future with a rundown of what's included in the membership, a little PayPal link to go ahead and sign up. You'll be able to sign in and check out all this members section stuff. So yes, you just missed an awesome 1 hour or so discussion about all the ridiculousness that everybody kind of used to love about like a lot of the old Dollar Bin stuff. How we would just go off topic and you would have trade stories and things like that. A lot of that, I just don't have time to kind of put it all on the site. So I'm going to start throwing that stuff up rather raw and sort of uncut on the Dollar Bin member section.
Nice.
So look for that in the future. And don't forget that we just recorded an awesome 1 hour segment that you didn't get a chance to hear because you weren't a member yet.
Be a member. Be a member.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. So anyway.
So who that is? First-